From Southern California, welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're delighted that you joined us for the broadcast today. I invite you to join us on air with your question in the U.S. or Canada by simply dialing 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. Our address, the Christian Research Institute, post office box 7000, Rancho Santa Margarita, California. That's a ranch with an O. Santa Margarita, three words. We're in Southern California, and the zip code is 92688. Our telephone number, area code 714-858-6100. Do you remember, if you're ordering materials or making donations, we have a special number that's designated to you, dedicated to you, actually, the number 888-7000-CRI. Again, that number, 888-7000-CRI. You can also catch us on the internet at www.equip.org. We have a full studio today. Joseph Tkach, Jr., he's the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God. His wife, Tammy. We also have Greg Albrecht, who is the executive director of Plain Truth Ministries, and his wife, Karen. And as always, we are delighted to have this group with us at the Bible Answer Man broadcast studios, because they have been transformed by truth, a book written by that same title now available to the Christian Research Institute. Joe, who would have ever thunk it? A book written by you that we're promoting here at CRI.
Not in my wildest dreams, but I think that's a testimony to the power of God. Really, the Holy Spirit has been very good to us. He has worked miracle upon miracle in our people.
We're introducing this to our audience for the very first time. However, this book has been out for a few weeks and already has had a dramatic impact on the lives of people.
Yes, it has. I've heard from quite a few people who've read it, both inside our own fellowship as well as outside our fellowship, that this has moved them, that this has encouraged them. And one of the things that's been really neat to hear for me personally is that so many people have been engaged in intercessory prayer for sometimes as high as 15 years for people in the Worldwide Church of God. And they get this book and they read it and say, wow, my prayers to God have been answered. And that's a very encouraging thing to see God answer prayers.
This is a faith builder for people.
Absolutely.
A book that I hope every single Christian reads. I love the book. I wrote the foreword to it. Thank you very much for asking me. I was honored to do it. And just honored to be able to promote this to our Bible Answer Man broadcast, because I know it will have an impact on lives.
Well, thank you. And you were one of the first few who saw that we were engaged in some kind of battle bigger than we could deal with ourselves. And you reached out and encouraged us. And so there was no one else I could think of that would be more appropriate to do that forward than you.
Good. While we were in Israel together, the unholy trip to the Holy Land, we did have a lot of fun. You were telling about the story of how you guys had first contacted me and come out to visit. I thought that'd be an interesting story to share on the broadcast.
Great story, because I was just thinking about that about 15 seconds ago. So our minds were thinking on that. That we, in fact, in the book is the letter that I wrote to you 4 or 5 years ago. And at that time, CRI was still putting out the historic and traditional information about the Worldwide Church of God, our historic Worldwide Church of God. And that was not what we believed any longer, but it was difficult for CRI or other groups to keep up, in fact, on what the Worldwide Church of God believed, because these changes were like dominoes. One thing led to another. And the examination of these teachings led to a change of a lot of things. So it was agreed that Joe, a fellow by the name of Mike Frizzell, and I, we talked to Joe's dad about it, that I would write you a letter and tell you that, in a very nice way, that you were wrong and you didn't have the up-to-date material, and could we share that with you? And you graciously responded back, and that led to a trip down here to see you, not to be on the air, but simply send, as it turned out, a lunch and an afternoon with you and your staff. I remember Joe on the way down here in the car, he was saying, oh, no, Oh no. Greg, I think we've gone too far this time. We're going to talk to Hank Haneger. You know who Hank Haneger is? This is the 5-volt answer man. This is the kingdom of the cults guy, the guy who now sits in Walter Martin's chair. Walter Martin, who wrote Kingdom of Cults, big chapter on the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert Armstrong, et cetera, et cetera. They did a number on us. Of course, at that time, we realized that, in fact, Walter Martin didn't do a number on us, but, in fact, he did show what was wrong with our teachings. But historically, when you mentioned the Kingdom of the Cults within the Worldwide Church of God, we said, well, that, you know, that stuff, they're just out to get us, and et cetera, et cetera. And we discredited it. Mm. But by that time, we realized that that it was the truth. It was what we pointed out, the errors that we had. But coming down here was difficult. But I'll have to say, as Joe said, and we're not just saying this because we're on your program with you, though you're going to have to at least buy me some sort of cheap dinner.
Be happy to do that.
A taco or something. I'm kidding. But Hank Hanegraaff was a man who saw the work of God. And I think a lot of people tend to look on CRI as a group of people, Hank Hanegraaff, who's pointing out people's problems, pointing the finger at people and saying, look what they're doing wrong, look what they're doing wrong. This book and this story shows that the work of God, the kingdom of God, was working within CRI because you noted that there was something dramatic happening here. And you didn't criticize, you didn't condemn, but you encouraged and you to us and you came alongside of us and you said, hey, what can I do for you? I see that you have a lot of tactical problems here in dealing with it. How can we help rather than repel, as you like to say, or how our attack. And so it is a major, and we'll always be grateful, and we'll always be brothers in the Lord as a result of that. We've gone through something together.
Be friends as well. Yeah. You know, you talk about Kingdom of the Cults. Brand new edition of Kingdom of the Cults just hit the market. I served as the general editor to this new edition of Kingdom of the Cults, and you probably don't know this, but I'll read this to you right now. I wrote this in my foreword. Not only can the lives of individuals be transformed, but entire unbiblical movements can be transformed as well. Consider the Worldwide Church of God. In previous editions of the Kingdom of the Cults, this movement was listed as a non-Christian cult. This edition, however, notes their journey since then from cultism to the cross. Joseph DeCotch Jr., Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, best summarized this transformation when he wrote, quote, gone are obsessions with a legalistic interpretation of the Old Testament, our belief in British Israelism, our insistence on our fellowship's exclusive relationship with God, gone are condemnations of medical science, the use of cosmetics in traditional Christian celebrations like Easter and Christmas, gone is our long-held view of God as a family of multiple spirit beings into which human beings may be born, replaced by a biblically accurate view of one God who exists eternally in three persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've embraced and now champion the Testament's central theme, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ's saving work on behalf of humanity is now the focus of our flagship magazine, The Plain Truth, rather than the end-time prophetic speculation. We proclaim the sufficiency of our Lord's substitutionary sacrifice to save us from the penalty of sin. We teach salvation by grace, based on faith alone, without resort to works of any kind. I don't know of anybody that could have said it better than you did, Joe. And now, of course, Kingdom of the Cult reflects the changes that have taken place within the Worldwide Church of God. And I think that's one reason that everybody that's got Kingdom of the Cult ought to get the updated version, because Worldwide Church of God, by God's grace, is no longer listed as a non-Christian movement or a cultic movement, but is a movement that is part of the continuum of church history.
Oh, praise God for that.
Yeah. And the book, of course, that we want to put in the hands of everyone during this broadcast, and please call our resource consultant at 714-858-6100 and say, I want to order Transformed by Truth by Joseph DeCotch Jr., Radio Offer number 424.
they're standing by. You've got to get this book, not only for yourself. If you're a non-believer, you've got to get it, because it demonstrates in a very significant way the power and the providence of God, the change not only of individuals, but an entire movement as well. And I think one of the reasons that these changes became possible is because of the high view in which the Worldwide Church of God has traditionally held Scripture. So with all of the problems, that's one thing that I think was very significant in the transformation by the truth, because you said, look, if you can explain by Scripture what the problems are, we're willing to change.
That was our absolute position. We always had a high view of Scripture. We always saw the Bible as our guide. God reads how we should live. And when we started to see that we had over-literalized some things, we're ignoring other things, the impact was so profound. I mean, speaking personally, there are things I've read 50 to 100 times in the Bible, and now when I read them, I hit myself in the forehead and say, how did I not see this before? The Bible just lives for me now in a way it just didn't before.
A lot of people wonder why you did not personally, why, Greg, you didn't in Plain Truth magazine, you didn't bash Armstrong. I mean, if you were founded by a man who really set tradition over the truth of Scripture, why didn't you bash him? Why didn't you go after him in this book and prove to everyone that you'd really change?
Well, I think, Hank, that's the mistake that a lot of people make. And a lot of Christians make about a lot of things in terms of this condemnatory, critical attitude that we Christians, non-Christians point that out to us, don't they? And very well. And it's the truth. Christians can get into the most critical, judgmental, we're better than anybody, and forgive me if any listeners don't like the church lady on Saturday Night Live, but the church lady's guest on Saturday Night Live said it very well. It shows the self-righteous pomposity of individuals who think they have the truth cornered in their little, maybe, denominational group, and nobody else is right. Yes, there have been people who have said that we should, in effect, dig up Herbert Armstrong's body from the grave, douse it with kerosene, burn it, and then and only then will we be authentic Christians. We will then have passed the final test of orthodoxy, and then the right hand of fellowship can be given to us. You know, our answer to that is that nowhere in the Bible are we called upon to do that. We are called upon to accept and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. Herbert Armstrong, like all of us, was an imperfect, fallen human being, made plenty of mistakes. One of the things that Herbert Armstrong did teach, though, that was right, is that the Bible is the final court of authority. However, he did have his own interpretation on it. Nonetheless, that notwithstanding, the Bible was given a high view by Herbert Armstrong in all of his preaching and all of his teaching. So anyone who's ever heard Herbert Armstrong preach or any read his writings will have this sense that the Bible is to believe. Herbert Armstrong said this and thundered this on the radio. Don't believe me. Believe the Bible. Blow the dust off your Bible, he would often say. So people would. Now, unfortunately, then as they continued to listen to him, they would accept or hear his interpretation of a number of things. That's where he went off track, and regrettably, that's where a number of people go off track when they listen to a human being's interpretation. But we had that high view of Scripture, and that those were the railroad tracks that God used to bring the Worldwide Church of God from where it was to where it is. So a lot of people are going to say, look, he damaged a lot of lives. Joe, you can look at your own transformation by grace and say, his teachings hurt me in a very tangible way.
Yes, I think that's true. I wouldn't deny that. I can also say, though, that the way some Christians have behaved towards me has hurt me and has caused damage as well. And I don't think that I want to give any human being such a high place in my life ever again. I think the mistake that we made and that others made is to elevate someone to a position that they shouldn't be in. And for me, Jesus is Lord. Forever he's going to be in that elevated position. No human will or can be in that position for me again. I'd add wood to what Greg was saying. Herbert Armstrong had his faults, and there are some people who want to either condemn him or claim him as a saint. He has both sides of the spectrum. What we want to do is just give him some honor as the founder of our movement and for the things that he taught that were right, like the high view of Scripture. He did teach that we're saved by grace. Unfortunately, he added some things to that boilerplate of truth that shouldn't have been added to it. He did teach that Jesus is our Savior, and there's none other. So we honor him for those proper things that he taught, and we are mature enough to point out the egregious errors that he taught. And I think that's where we should leave it.
And really, I commend you for this, because what you have in the focus is not going back to the problem, but you are lauding the change. And you are lauding the truth, and you are making the truth the focus in a book entitled Transformed by Truth. And again, I hope that everybody listening to our voices right now will get the book, read it, and will tell you how you can do that when we come back from the station break. So stay tuned.
And welcome back to the Bible Incident Broadcast. I'm your host, Hank Hennegraaff, President of the Christian Research Institute. Delighted that you joined us for the broadcast today. Inviting you to join us on air with your question Monday through Friday at this time by dialing 888-ASK-HANK. In studio with me today, Joseph Tkach, Jr., who's the Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God, his wife Tammy, Greg Albrecht. He's the Editor-in-Chief of Plain Truth Magazines. He's the Executive Director of Plain Truth Ministries. And his wife, Karen, and we're all going to go out and have dinner together right after the broadcast is over. But I'll tell you what, I am so privileged to have you guys as friends and to see firsthand the truth of the title of your book, Joe, Transformed by Truth. You have indeed been transformed by truth, and you're in the business now of serving God and transforming the lives of others and really reaching out to a mission field, which is the Worldwide Church of God.
Yes, that's true. My passion is to equip people with the truth and help people, let's say, rid themselves of some of the mythology and some of the bad logic that has held them with a faulty worldview, held them to some superstitious ideas, and they are not living life to its fullest as Jesus gives us the life they have.
Transformed by Truth, it's Joseph Tkach's testimony, his story, this transformation. It's a book that will encourage you. In Transformed by Truth, Joseph Tkach, leader of the Worldwide Church of God, candidly describes the movement's transformation from the perspective of his own personal awakening during their pilgrimage from cultism to the cross. I've come to know Joseph as a friend, a brother in Christ. I've observed firsthand his courage, his integrity, and his absolute commitment to Scripture as the final court of arbitration. That is what I start the foreword to his book, Transformed by Truth, with. And I hope you'll order it by calling 714-858-6100. Resource consultant standing by. You can order via the mail for a gift of $25. We not only send the book, but other things that are very significant, written by Joseph Tkach. This entire package, radio offer number 424, available when you write us at Post Office Box 7000, Rancho, Santa Margarita, California, zip code 92688. Again, the number to call, 714-858-5100. And if you're using Visa, MasterCard, or the Discover card to order radio offer number 424, remember the number 888-7000 CRI. We better start taking phone calls. The switchboard is completely lit up. We're going to go to Mateo in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Mateo, you're on with Joseph and Greg Albrecht.
Good afternoon, Hank, and good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi,
Mateo.
I don't know if Greg Albrecht will remember me. Back in the 70s, I used to be called Pint Size, back at their summer program there in Scotland.
Oh!
I know Greg a long time ago.
Nice to hear from you, Mateo.
Yeah, likewise. anyway,
I never called you pint size, of course. Somebody else must have. I'm just kidding.
Well, if you come to Calgary, I'll buy you that cheap meal. We can talk about it.
Yeah, I got off the hook.
Okay, just listening to the program, as you know, I've been a member of the Worldwide Church of God for a long time, and I mean, all these changes have been happening. I think it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. It feels like a lot of burdens have been off my shoulders, spiritual burdens. Like I'm really burdened down with a lot of things spiritually. And because I think the fact that with all these holy days and the Sabbath issue and things like that, it was rather burdensome, you know, with work factor and everything and getting time off and all that. But it was the fact that I only knew Christ as academically. And not as a relationship. And I just got married a year ago to a wonderful woman, and we're talking about having this relationship with Christ. And I thought I had the relationship, and I guess Mrs. Dukach alluded to the point that we didn't really have the relationship, but we had a kind of an academic view. And I just wondering what your views about that.
Yeah, I'll take that, Mateo. And great to hear from you, and I'll look forward to meeting you sometime in Calgary or some other place. You're quite right. I believe the title of Philip Yancey's book says it very well for me, the Jesus I never knew. You know, it's one thing to know about Jesus, facts and dates. It's quite another thing to know him in the way that a Christian can, if you believe and accept in him, accept him as personal savior. The title of Joseph Dukach's book is Transformed by Truth. That last word, truth. Two things. One, yes, truth in an academic sense, logical, cognitive beliefs. But there's a second meaning any Christian will know, and that is, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Transformed by Jesus. That's what we mean. Probably more, because you cannot be transformed by academic knowledge unless you are first in a living, vital relationship with the Lord of the universe. Then you are transformed, but it's not the other way around. And so that would be my comment on your comments and your question.
Yeah. No, it's just that, ever since I've been baptized in the Worldwide Church of God, you know, I've always accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but it's what we... having us allowed to live, for him to live through us and in us. And it just seems that I was blocking me out because of the holy days, what I have to do, rather than what he has done for me, you see?
Yes.
And that's why I feel so overjoyed that the Worldwide Church of God has changed and in the right direction. And I just wish you and Mr. Dukach Jr. and your family is all the best, and we are backing you up and praying for you that things will go well in the future, and let's spread the good words, the good news out there.
Thanks, Mateo.
Yeah.
Good music to your ears, Joe.
Absolutely good music. And congratulations on your wedding, too.
We're going to go to Mike in Lancaster, California, KAZC. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to find out from Mr. Dukach, I'm saying your name right. When you say that your church made this doctrinal change, it seems like you're saying two different things. First, it seems like you're saying that the church, the Worldwide Church of God, made the change, the doctrinal change. And then it seems like you're saying that it was you and maybe a few other associates in the top of the administration that made the change. I'm wondering if you could explain, did you actually, or your church, your denomination, actually put this to the people themselves and help them to, quote, unquote, see the truth? Or did you work this out with the church so that you could literally say that the church made the change? Or are you saying just that the administration at the top made the change and expected the others to follow through?
Good question. Yeah, it's actually a combination of both. We've always been episcopally governed. And so any change that's going to happen is going to happen, let's say, from a top-down perspective. However, these changes didn't come about with just people in the governance of the church. There were plenty of people sitting in the pew, so to speak, and plenty of pastors who were writing in and saying, you know, have you considered this view on this teaching? Please look at this. Please answer my question. And when we announced the first few changes, we were flooded with letters. Well, please answer these questions. And that's what caused the the dramatically rapid pace of the changes. It's not a matter of the church governance having their foot on the accelerator driving the rapidity of change. It was, in fact, the church governance's response to all the questions that were flooding in from pastors and members. But just like any other church, it wasn't a monolithic change. Not everybody at all the same time changed. So that in our fellowship, we have a combination or a variety of perspectives. We have some people who were right along with us, and maybe in some cases were ahead of us in understanding the changes. There are some who understood certain things, but not other things. And there are some who didn't seem to understand it at all and are still confused. So when we say it's still our biggest mission field, we would like to have everybody in the Worldwide Church of God be grounded in the primary core doctrines. Because once you're grounded in the primary core doctrines, you can't be deceived.
And of course, it's very important to you that you don't force feed anybody. Only the Holy Spirit should supply.
Absolutely. That was one of the earliest things that I think I learned in terms of a frustration I had. I went, why are people seeing these things? Why are it's so clear, it's so logical. And then I came along to see, I can't change someone. Only the Holy Spirit can make that change and convict them. So that's the way I pray.
Great question. I want to go to Steve in New York, New York, WMCA. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I've been a member of the Worldwide Church of God for several years. And I totally agree with all the changes that we've made. It's truly transformed my life as well. But there were a couple of things I never seemed to resolve. One was the question of on whether the soul died at death or back at resurrection. I was wondering if we had made, if we had changed our way of viewing that since then.
Yes. And this is one issue that I don't think we've yet given enough teaching about so that everyone can appreciate and understand the difference. In the past, we had a position that the soul and the body were, let's say, the identical thing. When you look at Scripture, you see a handful of Scriptures that say that that a death is equated to sleep. But then you see another equal amount of Scriptures where people are dead, but they're having intelligent conversations. How do you reconcile that? Well, the way we reconciled it in the past was to say, well, sleep is the equivalent, or death is the equivalent of sleep, and those other scriptures where people are talking and having conversations after they're dead, well, you know, that's just a nice story, an analogy, it isn't real. But it is real. We can't spiritualize those scriptures away. So when you combine the two of them, you see that when someone dies, yeah, the body is asleep, but the soul returns to God, with God. And you know, that really, in some ways, isn't that different than what Herbert Armstrong taught. He taught there was a spirit in man, and that when you die, that spirit returns to God. And that wasn't untrue. The part that was untrue was, or that needs to be recognized as lacking, is that the soul is not unconscious. You know, even when you're sleeping, and let's say if you go to sleep tonight, the chances are you probably had a dream. We dream a lot, and we don't always remember our dreams when we wake up, or even the reason that we did dream. But even while we're asleep, we're having dreams, and there's conscious activity. So I don't know if that helps you at all, but there's always been a minority of people through the historic Christian faith who've been annihilationists, and who believe in soul sleep, and that's not the orthodox view.
So we have changed our what we had said.
Yes, we would like for everyone to realize that that is the unorthodox position. But I don't believe it's a test of fellowship. We're not going to kick someone out of fellowship or condemn someone if they hold that view.
You know what's interesting about this, Steve, as you listen to your pastor general talk about this, I think it's really encouraging to hear that. How has he derived his answer? Is it because someone told him that he was wrong before and there's a new perspective that he ought to consider, or is it because he's grappled with the Word of God? And there again, I think there's a real comfort because the high view of Scripture becomes, for them, now the final court of arbitration. So it's not what one person said or another person said. How does our past view square with Scripture? And I think that would be a very comforting thing for everybody that is involved in the Worldwide Church of God.
Just one other thing. I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Takach Sr. before he had passed away when he was here in New York. And to me, he was one of the best examples of a man in the Christian that I've ever met. And I'll always remember him, and I just thought you'd like to know that.
Oh, thank you for saying that, Steve.
Thank you very much. I think you're doing a great job.
Blessings on you.
Thank you for your
call,
Steve. And, of course, the book Transformed by Truth has a pretty moving section of pictures in it as well. You have pictures from your past and pictures in transition. That's a very significant part of it.
Yes. I would have liked to put more pictures in, but we didn't want the book to become too thick and unwieldy. But I think it's a nice selection. It's a good feel for anyone who's been in the church any length of time. And for anyone who doesn't know our story, the pictures will give you a nice warm feel.
There's a picture of the funeral of your dad. Losing your dad. I've lost my dad recently. Difficult, but I know that you are so thankful for the move of the Holy Spirit in the life of your father, because that really was a very significant impetus to all of the changes that are taking place today.
Oh, absolutely true. There would have been a unfortunately, I asked you that question. Looking at the clock, you have 5 seconds. We'll pick that up and we'll come back from the station. Right back with more.